Hello, everyone. Welcome to Unnecessary Noise. I'm TJ, and it's been a while. It's been a little bit, just over a week since our last episode, and the reason I took a little bit of a break, although it's not crazy, like usually we're trying to do one a week. I'm trying to do one or two a week, maybe more, depending on if I can get a guest. But I got a lot to cover in that 1 week. Had a lifetime of events. Maybe not a lifetime, but maybe a month's worth of experiences smashed down into a weekend. Starts off, well, the main reason I haven't done one in a little bit is because I have been sick. It's that January sickness, that one that, I don't know, being at working at a pool of an undisclosed name. Yeah, I gotta be honest, this is not my day job. But working at a pool, chlorine and cold water and cold weather do not make good bedfellows for health. Wow, I'm stuttering a lot. Still a little rusty. I was sick and hacking and just the chest sickness, not the vomit sickness. But I just halfway through like last Saturday, I was sounding like Gollum.
Yeah, my precious.
I called into my announcing gig, and it sounded something like,
I just can't come into work today. The Hobbitses have got the hold of my voice.
And that's like, no joke, that's actually pretty accurate to what I was sounding like. And the brutal part is, you know, I went in, I did some supervising, and I came back, and it's not a good thing. If you're sick, stay home. That's I think the message I want to say. I know it's nice to make money, and we all want to make money. I love making money, but I also like being healthy. So if you're sick, do me a favor, do everyone else around you a favor, and stay home. Because you know what else happens? When you're sick, and you, no matter how gross you are, chances are you're going to complain about it sooner or later. And no one wants to hear you being sick, and it's disgusting, and you're just like an old TV with bunny ears. You sound like static white noise. Just your voice, my voice sounds like staticky white noise. And then I usually end up complaining. And I'm not the only one. This is just kind of like an eternal truth everywhere. If you're sick, stay home. You know, and that's why you get sick days. That's why you should be allowed to call in sick. Now, again, some people abuse the system. I may have been one of them from time to time. But, you know, as a whole, the reason we have sick days is so that we can get better. We can get better. We can start the healing. I don't know. So that's why I have not been on lately. But I'm back. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling healthy. Testing out the old voice. I think it sounds okay. You know? So, yeah. It's still not like, I'm not completely out of the woods when it comes to the where I'm at. But, you know, yeah, I get some like, it's some weird, you get the weird chest thing. You get that weird hack. In the middle of the night. I got that. So I just load up on melatonin and what's the other one? Cold and sinus. Advil cold and sinus. And that seems to do the trick. Nice plug. All right. So what else? What happened? There's been a lot that's happened this week. Well, I mean, I'm going to work my way backwards, I think. Because I think that if I do that, it'll make everything kind of fall into place. So let's start with the Super Bowl. Did you guys watch the Super Bowl? Now, it was the Pats versus the Rams. Of course you did. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably weren't doing anything Sunday, so you were watching the Super Bowl. And yeah, it was Tom Brady and his Patriots and Billy B. I don't think anybody calls him Billy B, but me. But he was they were taking on the Rams. And I was torn because, I mean, on the one hand, I don't want to see the Pats win. Just because I've gotten to that point. I think I, so, let me rewind the clock here a little bit. I'm going to say I was cheering for the Patriots only because the Rams are the Seahawks division rivals. So I'm a big Hawks fan, and not just because of, you know, Russell Wilson. I go back pre-Hasselbeck to the John Kitna era. That's when they were not great. Warren Moon, you know, my uncle was more into the Jim Zorn era, so they go way back, but I'm a Hawks fan. I'm probably like late 90s, early 2000s, right when the video games started becoming fun in 3D. I remember playing always as the Seahawks on PS1. So that's kind of how I relate it. That's how video games have influenced the sports culture around my household. So, the Rams are the division rivals. I can't cheer for them. I don't want them to do well. I want to see the Seahawks do well. Having said that, the Pats beat the Hawks in the Super Bowl. So I don't really want the Pats to do well. But I guess the tiebreaker for me is the fact that I do want to see greatness. And if you're taking yourself out of the whole, like, these guys beat our team, it's almost like watching Michael Jordan. And I know this comparison has been made in the Bulls during their dynasty run. You know, it feels magical. It's just like they are going to be talking about this run for years in football. And right now, up until that moment, there was an argument on who was the greatest quarterback coach combination ever. Now it's been removed. I mean, say what you want. The championship rings don't lie. You know, Brady's got 6, and he's still left rings on the table. You know, he could have had 9. That's a crazy number to think about. If they beat the Giants and they beat Philly last year, they've had 9 Super Bowl appearances and walked away with 6 of 9 is not a bad record. The Buffalo Bills went there 4 years in a row and walked away empty. I'm just saying. So you gotta. At what point do you say, okay, I don't want to see the Pats win because they're always winning? To, okay, let's see how far they go. Now, the nauseating thing isn't so much the Patriots themselves; it's their fans, because their fans don't know losing, right? And they always like, oh, you know. Oh, I don't know, this year. And I mean, my dad's in this camp too. So, I don't know. They might be dismantling this year. Oh, and then the media tries to make it a story too. You know, there's always that story about you know, whether or not Bill Belichick and Brady are they're talking. Like, who cares? You know, I'm sure whatever. Like, just wait till the end of the season. The year the Pats don't make posts, I think, and you can't do this. This is never going to happen. But the year the Patriots don't make the postseason is the year you start to say, well, maybe this is the beginning of the end. That's when you have to make that argument. Because up until this time, how many years in a row have they won the division? Didn't they beat? I think there's 1 year when Brady had a broken leg and Matt Castle stepped in. And I can't even remember if they won that year. I don't think they won the division. I think the Dolphins actually may have won the division that year. But every year since, haven't they? Or wait, I guess there's a couple of the Rex Ryan years that they were in there, but then lost to, I think Rex Ryan didn't win. I can't remember the whole thing. But I know, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, like I said, 9 Super Bowl, that's at least 9 conference championships, right? 9 Super Bowl appearances means 9 times AFC champion. That's right. That is right, right? I'm thinking he's now got 6 rings. I'm doing it in the math in my head. So if somebody's on Twitter and like, he actually has, 7 or 8, I don't know. But I just know he's lost 3 times in the Super Bowl. And I'm pretty sure this was his 6th ring, right? So, anyway, it's interesting. And like I said, this is where you say, I'm watching history. Now, when he had, and it's weird because when he had that run with Randy Moss in the perfect season, I don't know. There's something about that team. Maybe it was the fact that he still had like a ton of championships at the time, right? Would that have been number four had they won the Giants game? I don't know. It just didn't seem, I don't know, I didn't want them to win that at that time. But now, and like I said, it helped that they were playing the rivals. It was kind of cool to see them break the record. You know, at the time, I guess, you know what it is? At the time, you're going for the record, and the record is the most championships, and then you see them tie the record, and it's kind of a big deal. Now you're just seeing, okay, how much gas does he have left in the tank? Because it seems like he's going on forever, and Father Time catches up with everyone. Look at Peyton Manning. Although maybe that's a bad example. Drew Brees still seems to be having a great career. But Peyton Manning towards the end, man, that guy was throwing, what is it, Richard Sherman called him ducks. He's throwing ducks. And Peyton's big response,
yeah, but they're pretty good ducks.
Yeah. They weren't in that Super Bowl. I guess it was against Carolina, they were probably a little better. But that defense, really, the Denver defense is what held them in there. And, you know, I'll say you can argue that that was a defensive game, too. And Belichick's defense came up big in yesterday's Super Bowl. But, yeah, it's still Tom. You just feel like at any moment with him at quarterback, he hadn't gotten sacked once up until that game. I can't remember if he got sacked. I think he did. Didn't he? Did he get sacked in the Super Bowl? I don't know. I have no stats line. This is just off the top of my head, remembering. I don't know. But there's so much, again, with the Super Bowl in and of itself, I think there's so much sideshow going on. And at that point, it's really just kind of celebrating the season. Even when your team's in the playoffs, you've had a week off of football, and you're just kind of, yeah, this is a fun little end. It's a series finale. The football's kind of the periphery to it. We've made it to this point. I remember when I watched the Super Bowl, first time Seattle won, when they beat Denver, the only time Seattle's won. When you watch that game, I mean, the big one was actually getting to the Super Bowl. But now that this is the story, and I mean, I guess, I don't know. It just feels weird. It feels so removed. Like, yes, it's the championship game. Yes, it's such a big event. And it's always a big event to watch the games. But this just seems like it's bittersweet because there's no more football for that little bit of time, which is why the XFL is stepping in. But yeah, and there's so many little things. Like, you have friends over that don't usually watch football. Half the time you're explaining it. Like, yesterday was good. I went over to a buddy's house, and they, luckily, pretty big football fans. And so we had the bingo. They did it right. So if you're a novice, they have a couple things you can do. First of all, playing corners is amazing. You ever played corners? I left a pause in there. Like, you got, like, whoever's listening is going to be responding. Did you play corners? Oh, okay. And I'm going to acknowledge that. No, if you played, it's basically a grid of squares. And you write your names on this grid of squares. And then up the one side, like up the x-axis, you write a bunch of individual numbers. And you write one team's name. And on the y-axis, you write another team's name and a bunch of numbers. And then at the end of each quarter, you correlate who has the right score. And you bet money and whatever. So, person with the most squares at the end of the game wins. Or person with, person with the right score wins the money. There was also this one, and I'd never played this one before, called Commercial Bingo. And I don't even know who put it. It must have been CBS that put it on. And you could download this these bingo sheets from the internet. The internet. I guess from maybe CBS's website or something. Maybe it was NFL.com. And you could actually, you print it out, and they had a bunch of things that you'd had to watch for during commercials, like Bubbly, what was it, Mercedes, and all this stuff. And, like, my buddy had prizes. It was great. It was an awesome, it was cool. Not to mention there's always the food, you know. But there's so much else going on. And especially with that game, it was sad because the most important thing in that game was not the game. It ended up being about the commercials because that game stunk. I'm sorry. And it's always fun to see, like, when you're watching a boring game like that, to see how they're going to spin it, right? How the broadcasters, like Tony Romo and who is it? Oh, gosh, the guy's always on Dan Patrick. I can't remember the other guy's name. Jim Nantz. There it is. How they're going to spin it. You know, it's a defensive struggle. You know, this is not offensive football. This is old school. This is old school grinded out football. You know, words like grinding, you know, as smash mouth, defensive. They're always saying defensive battle, right? 3-0. 3-0 end of the first half. No one's saying it's a snoozer. Did the president tweet something? I could see Trump doing something like that. I think that it was totally boring. If I was commissioner of the NFL, I would make something so huge and so much bigger and make it high scoring. And that's why I'm saying the XFL is the official league of the United States of America. Huge. That's what I imagine would happen. No, he didn't say it, did he? Behind closed doors, maybe. So there was that. And, oh, yeah, the other thing that I, for some reason, it was kind of hilarious to me. Vince Wilfork was wearing this massive, this like weird bedazzled Versace t-shirt. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. Very cool. He has a Versace t-shirt. Very odd that it looked like something you'd like a grade 6 girl would wear. You know, it's bedazzled. And because it says Versace, I'm sure it's worth a lot of money. And I'm sure it's a great t-shirt, but it also looks like something you'd get at like Claire. Is that's the girl store in the mall, right? It was just weird. It was just an odd shirt. And especially when he's the first one to carry the Lombardi trophy and present it, and then, you know, a bunch of other people, he hands it off to a bunch of other people. But no, it was overall interesting. Super Bowl, a lot of fun, with the exception of the game itself. A lot of good food, friends, and maybe that's what the Super Bowl's all about. It's like Christmas, only awesomer. Yeah, that's a quote. That's a future Instagram quote. You can tag that in Barstool. But the Super Bowl's not the only thing that I did. Oh no, there was other stuff. Friday I was hanging out with Kisaki. Kisaki, I think if you don't know who he is, check out episode 19. Is it 19? I think it's 19 that he's on there. We talked for like 2 hours. Longest podcast. I think it's the longest podcast I've ever done. B, I think it's the longest podcast that's ever been on this show. So it's a double. It's a twofer. I try and keep these to 30 so I don't meander. There was a lot of meandering on the Kisaki podcast, which I'm okay with because we covered a lot of ground. He is the ultimate movie buff, and I think one thing is that we might be doing something together in the future. As far as we're probably, I'm trying to get, and it's not all figured out yet, but we're trying to get a movie review with him going. Because he has, and I'm not even joking, I think, he has the most extensive collection of films I've ever seen. He's got weird VHSs that, it's almost like if you're hoarders for movie nerds. Like, it's just movies on movies on movies. And it's, we watched this movie, and I said, he asked me, what do you want to watch? Because he wanted to break me into, like, B-movies. I think I know B-movies. Like, I was a big fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000. The old stuff, not the new stuff they're putting on Netflix, but, like, the original MST3K with Joel Hodgson and Mike Nelson. Is it Mike Nelson?
Yeah.
In the not too distant future. If you haven't seen them, they're great. It's basically this B movie where they sit and watch B movies. It's a B TV show. And the whole idea is an evil scientist has shot this guy into space where, and he sits there and the scientist performs these weird experiments on the dude. I know it's sounding messed up, and the way he's testing the guy in space's mind by making him watch all these horrible movies, these horrible B movies. And so these guys sit there, so you're watching this silhouette of two, I think it's a guy and two robots, because they're playing up the fact that they're a B movie. They're kind of making fun of the whole B movie trope. So you're watching this silhouette in a like you're in a movie theater of the head of a guy and like two weird robots, and they're all just they're all cracking wise at these horrible B movies. So it's like you're in the theater with them. So if you ever want to watch one, watch Manos: The Hands of Fate. That's a great one to break you in to just how bad some of the stuff they do, because they just like to quip wise. And it's a funny B movie. It's just awful. It's so bad. But yeah, I used to watch that show. And so I got a good feel for like some really bad B movies. This guy, Tony, has B movies that I've never heard of before. Like he's got categories of categories. He's like, yeah, I've got Filipino, like sci-fi, Filipino horror, Indonesian. Like he's got all these things. And they all have like just these massive amounts of videos. And he's just like, first of all, how did you hear about these, and how did you get a hold of them? It's just weird stuff, okay? So I'm not sure, like I said, what the future entails for the great Kasaki and myself and what we're going to be doing, but I think there's definitely going to be some sort of review show soon. Sooner rather than later. That is the hope, fingers crossed, what have you. So anyway, we watched this one. I gotta tell you, he's trying to break me into this. We watched this one called Dead Heat. And it's called, here are the stars. Joe Piscopo, Treat Williams, the doctor from Voyager makes a brief cameo, like Robert Picardo, and then who's the other one? The dad from Christmas Story. That's the other one. So you've got four weird randoms. The whole thing is like it's a movie where like it's trying to be a buddy cop and a zombie movie at the same time. It's bad. Dead Heat. He shows me he's got like three different copies of this movie. If Joe Piscopo, one of the guys on SNL that people try and forget, is in this. And that's not a knock against him. I don't hate Joe Piscopo. I got nothing against him. I'm just saying, you know, he's not one of the most beloved. He's not your Dan Aykroyd. They always talk about that era with Eddie Murphy. It's like, wasn't he though? Is Eddie Murphy, that's the era, right? Joe Piscopo's the fact. Everyone's like, who is this guy? Anyone listening to this? Exactly. Google him. You'll probably be like, oh, that guy. I recognize him from a couple movies. I recognize him from he just looks familiar. And then Treat Williams, I'm pretty sure, was in Seinfeld at one point. He's played, like, the bad, sleazy bad guy in a couple movies. So, Yeah. Yeah, we watched that. Weird movie. Weird one. And then Saturday, I'm doing this weird jumping around on this past weekend. So then we watched that night. And like I said, hopefully we get a review show. And then the Saturday, I hope, I went and saw this, like, weird. It was just weird. I think the weekend was weird. I went to a wrestling show, East Van. It was a company I'd never been seen before. Most of the time, All-Stars, like, I usually go to, like, All-Star Wrestling or, like, ECCW. This was called Glam Slam. It was East Van. I think it was, like, if you go New Japan, if New Japan is, like, the Dark Knight of wrestling, you know, then I would say this Glam Slam would be more along the lines of the Adam West Batman of wrestling. If that's a comparison that makes sense. You had just weird gimmicks like Groundhog fighting his shadow, which was kind of funny. Which admittedly was funny. And then other things. Like, what was it? You had these guys. It was just an odd thing. The bad guys were the Roofie Boys, which, yeah, you know, I didn't make this. And then the good guys were the Valkyries. And the Valkyries beat up on these guys. It was interesting because normally, and I'm not saying this is good one way or the other, I'm just making a statement. It was interesting because it was a very left social justice warrior version of wrestling. Which was still entertaining because it still had its funny moments and stuff. But it was definitely catered to the East Van crowd, and you know, it was different. It was a hot crowd too. There's a full venue, like 200 people, and yeah, Groundhog fighting his shadow. Oh, he had the pipe. What is it? The hippies versus the Albertans. Like the trying to put pipe in. You had a guy named Dwight Privilege, and that guy actually was the best. His promo work. He was like a heel promo. And he was talking about Dwight Privilege, and everyone was booing him. But the funny thing is, like, you know, I'm not sure. The irony is that most of the people there were white, but he was getting under their skin. It was kind of hilarious to watch. He came out doing the Matthew McConaughey from Wolf of Wall Street. So it was an entertaining. Odd. It was weird. There was so much weird there. I don't want to unpack all of it, but anyway, that's pretty much it for me. I'm going to call it a day. I think I'm done. I think I'm just wrapped up. Overall, weird week. We're back. We're on a schedule. Guys, thanks so much. You know where to reach me, at TJ Tulloch. Twitter, at TJ Tulloch. Instagram. Thanks so much. See you soon.